Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Susan Shand, John Russell, Barbara Klein, Leo Scully, and Morris Joyce. But first, this report with help from Brian Lynn.
Each year, the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, presents new technology developments across many industries. The event is going on this week in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is a chance for companies to launch their latest products aimed at making life easier, more productive, and fun. Here is a list of some of the most interesting products introduced at CES 2020.
The show is always a favorite place for companies to release their latest televisions. This year was no different. Several manufacturers released large models with 8K, which is considered the highest quality standard. Samsung showed off a new 8K version that brings the picture right to the edge of the TV. Samsung also introduced a TV that can be used to watch video designed for a smartphone. The Cero TV does this by turning itself from the normal TV position to an upright position that looks like the shape of a phone. The TV can connect to mobile devices to play video directly from the phone. The TV is already for sale in South Korea for about $1,600. The company says it is designed to appeal to the mobile generation. Samsung says it plans to expand Cero's availability to several global markets in 2020.
A company called Tonu presented a waste can designed for the home that does a lot of the dirty work on its own. When the can is full, the user touches a button to activate the machine's smart abilities. The device then completely seals the waste bag inside and puts a new one in place, all by itself. The can then raises its top so the user can pick up and throw away the bag.
People who snore when they sleep might be helped by the motion pillow. This smart pillow is designed to collect information about the sleeper's head position and breathing during the night. The system then uses this data to change the shape of the pillow with the help of built-in airbags. The idea is that by changing the pillow, the sleeper's head will move just enough to improve airflow through the nose and reduce snoring.
Segway people movers have been around for years, but the company used CES to announce its new S-Pod model. The new transporting pod looks like a small chair with wheels. The company says its new model is designed to be used in enclosed areas such as airports, amusement parks, and shopping malls.
Mophie announced a new charging device that can wirelessly charge smartphones and also be used to start a car with a dead battery. The Power Station Go comes with two USB openings for device charging, as well as car battery connectors and a powerful light.
Technology company Bosch introduced several new products at CES, including its new virtual visor for cars. The virtual visor is designed to replace the traditional vehicle sun visor. The company says the system uses artificial intelligence to find the exact position of the driver's eyes. It then darkens only a small part of the car's windshield through which the sun could affect the driver's sight.
Automobile industry company Continental showed off a new technology that seems to make the front end of a vehicle disappear. Continental says the technology called Transparent Hood aims to make driving safer and easier. Cameras provide video of the area underneath the vehicle, permitting the driver to see objects and road conditions that might present danger.
Samsung provided a first look at a technology that could turn just about any surface into a device keyboard. The virtual keyboard is called Selfie Type. The system uses a device's camera to analyze finger movements as they type on a flat surface and shows the results on the phone. Samsung says the virtual keyboard does not require any other equipment besides a mobile device. The technology is still being tested.
A company called AO Air introduced a wearable air purifier. The device is designed to be a high-tech face covering to block pollution. The purifier pulls air through a filtration system and then uses fans to create a small area of clean air at the front of the device. The company says the design permits the air to be purified without the need for a solid seal.
And finally, personal products company Procter & Gamble presented a robot that can serve people as they use the toilet. The Rollbot was described by the company's Charmin division as a first-of-its-kind invention. The small, self-balancing robot can be controlled by a smartphone to bring bathroom users a fresh roll of paper without ever having to leave the toilet seat. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Airline companies are changing flight paths throughout the Middle East following the deadly crash of a Ukrainian passenger plane in Iran Wednesday. The crash killed all 176 people on the plane. It happened just hours after Iran attacked American bases in Iraq with ballistic missiles. No one was hurt in the strikes. The strikes were in answer to the U.S. killing last week of Iranian military official Qasem Soleimani. The plane crashed minutes after leaving Tehran Airport. Iranian officials said they believed a mechanical problem caused the crash. They have disputed suggestions that the plane was hit by a missile. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky cut short a visit to Oman to return to Kiev following the crash. He said a team of Ukrainian experts would fly to Tehran to help investigate the crash. Our priority is to find the truth and everyone responsible for the tragedy, Zelensky wrote in a Facebook statement. The UIA flight was bound for Kiev, the Ukrainian capital, carrying 167 passengers and a crew of nine. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Vadim Pristeko said the dead included 82 Iranians, 63 Canadians, 11 Ukrainians, 10 Swedes, 4 Afghans, 3 Germans, and 3 Britons. Airline officials said most of the passengers were going to the Ukrainian capital, Kiev, to change planes for other cities. Later Wednesday, several European airline companies announced they were changing their routes to avoid Iranian airspace. The changes are expected to decrease air travel between Iran and Western Europe. Air France and Dutch airline KLM both said Wednesday that they had suspended all flights over Iranian and Iraqi airspace. German airline Lufthansa also canceled flights to Iraq. In North America, Air Canada changed its flight paths from Toronto to Dubai through Egypt and Saudi Arabia to avoid traveling over Iraq. In Canada, Foreign Minister François-Philippe Champagne said Wednesday, Canada's hearts are with the loved ones of the victims, including many Canadians. The Ukrainian president asked Ukraine International Airlines to begin a full inspection of all non-military airplanes in the country. Iran's Road and Transportation Ministry said it appears that one of the plane's engines caught fire. The plane was fully loaded with fuel for its 2,300-kilometer trip. It crashed near the town of Shahedshar, just outside Tehran. I'm Susan Shand.
A relative of starfish does not have eyes, but can still see. That information comes from scientists who studied sea creatures in the coral reefs of the Caribbean and Gulf of Mexico. The researchers reported this month that the starfish relative, called the red brittle star, is only the second creature known to be able to see without having eyes. This ability is called extraocular vision. The other creature said to have extraocular vision is a kind of sea urchin. Brittle stars, with five arms extending from a central disc, are part of a group of marine life called echinoderms. They have a nervous system, but no brain. The red brittle star measures up to about 35 centimeters wide from the end of one arm to the other. It lives in bright and complex environments. Because of the possibility of being eaten by fish, the creature hides during daylight hours. The red brittle star possesses extraocular vision as a result of light-sensing cells called photoreceptors. These photoreceptors cover its body and chromatophores, the cells responsible for pigment or coloring. During daytime, the chromatophores narrow the field of light being detected, making each photoreceptor like the pixel of a computer image. When combined with other pixels, the image becomes complete. The visual system does not work at night when the chromatophores contract in size. Laboratory experiments suggested that the brittle stars have very simple vision. Placed in a circular environment, for example, they moved toward walls that were white with a black bar, suggestive of a daytime hiding place. Lauren Sumner Rooney is a research fellow at the Oxford University Museum of Natural History. She led the study, which appeared in the publication Current Biology. If our conclusions about the chromatophores are correct, this is a beautiful example of innovation in evolution, she said. I'm John Russell.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In our last program, we told you the story of the Statue of Liberty. It was given to the United States by the people of France. Lady Liberty holds a bright torch high over the harbor of New York City. Millions of immigrants coming to America passed the statue as ships carried them to the Immigration Processing Center on Ellis Island. Leo Scully and Morris Joyce tell the story of immigration in the United States during the 1800s.
American life was changing, and it was changing quickly. Before 1860, the United States had an agricultural economy. After 1860, the country began to change from an agricultural to an industrial economy. In 1860, American shops and factories produced less than $2,000 million worth of goods. 30 years later, in 1890, American factories produced $10,000 million worth. By then, more than 5 million persons were working in factories and mines. Another 3 million had jobs in the building industries and transportation.
Year after year, production continued to increase, and the size of the industrial labor force continued to grow. A great many of the new industrial workers came from American farms. Farm work was hard, and the pay was low. Young men left the family farms as soon as they could. They went to towns and cities to look for an easier and better way of life. Many of them found it in the factories. A young man who worked hard and learned new skills could rise quickly to better and better jobs. This was not only true for farmers, but also for immigrants who came to the United States from foreign countries. They came from many different lands and for many different reasons, but all came with the same hope for a better life in a new world.
In the 1850s, America's Industrial Revolution was just beginning. Factories needed skilled workers, men who knew how to do all the necessary jobs. Factory owners offered high pay to workers who had these skills. British workers had them. Many had spent years in British factories. Pay was poor in Britain, and these skilled workers could get much more money in America. So many of them came, hundreds of thousands. Some factories, even some industries, seemed completely British.
Cloth factories in Falls River, Massachusetts, were filled with young men from Lancashire, England. Most of the workers in the shipyards of San Francisco were from Scotland. Many of the coal miners in America were men from the British mines in Wales. Many were farmers who came to America because they could get land for nothing. They could build new farms for themselves in the rich land of the American West.
One of the best-liked songs in Britain then was a song about the better life in America. Its name, To the West. Its words helped many men decide to make the move to America. To the West, to the land of the free, where mighty Missouri rolls down to the sea, where a man is a man if he's willing to toil, and the poorest may harvest the fruits of the soil, where the young may exult and the aged may rest, away, far away, to the land of the West.
To another group of immigrants, America was the last hope. Ireland in the 1840s suffered one crop failure after another. Hungry men had to leave. In 1850 alone, more than 117,000 people came to the United States from Ireland. Most had no money and little education. To those men and women, America was a magic name.
Throughout Europe, when times were hard, people talked of going to America. In some countries, organizations were formed to help people emigrate to the United States. A Polish farmer wrote to such an organization in Warsaw. I want to go to America, but I have no money. I have nothing but the 10 fingers of my hands, a wife, and 9 children. I have no work at all, although I am strong and healthy and only 45 years old. I have been to many towns and cities in Poland, wherever I could go. Nowhere could I earn much money. I wish to work, but what can I do? I will not steal, and I have no work. So I beg you to accept me for a journey to America.
As the years passed, fewer people were moving to America for a better job. Most were coming now for any job at all. Work was hard to find in any of the cities in Europe. A British lawmaker told Parliament in 1870 that Englishmen were leaving their country not because they wanted to, but because they had to. They could not find work at home. He said that even as he spoke, hundreds were dying of hunger in London and other British cities. They were victims of the new revolution in agriculture and industry. Small family farms were disappearing. In their places rose large, modern farms that could produce much more. New machines took the place of men, and millions of farmers had to look for other work. Some found it in the factories. Industry was growing quickly, but not quickly enough to give jobs to all the farmers out of work.
In the next 10 years, millions of people made the move from Britain, Germany, and the Scandinavian countries. But then, as industry in those countries grew larger and more jobs opened, the flood of immigration began to slow. The immigrants now were coming from southern and eastern Europe. Anti-Jewish feeling swept Russia and Poland. Violence against Jews caused many of them to move to America. In the late 1880s, cholera spread through much of southern Italy. Fear of the disease led many families to leave for the United States. Others left when their governments began building up strong armies. Young men who did not want to be soldiers often escaped by moving to America. Big armies were costly, and many people left because they did not want to pay the high taxes. Whatever the reason, people continued to immigrate to the United States.
These new immigrants were not like those who came earlier. These new immigrants had no skills. Most were unable to read or write. Factory owners found that these Eastern and Southern Europeans were hard workers. They did not protest because the work was hard and the pay was low. They did not demand better working conditions. They did not join unions or strike. Factory owners began to replace higher-paid American and British workers with the new immigrants. Business leaders wanted more of the new workers. They urged the immigrants to write letters to their friends and relatives in the old country. Tell them to come to America, that there are plenty of jobs.
Letters from America brought many more immigrants. The big steamship companies also helped industry to get more of the new workers. They paid thousands of agents throughout Europe to sell tickets for the trip to America. Their efforts meant that steamships bringing grain to Europe could return to America filled with immigrants. They came by the hundreds of thousands, people of all religions from all across Europe. Many remained in New York and other eastern cities. But many others moved westward. They took jobs in the steel factories of Pennsylvania and the coal mines of West Virginia. They worked in the lumber camps of Michigan and in the stockyards and meat packing plants of Chicago.
Within a few years, foreign-born workers held most of the unskilled jobs in many American industries. American workers began to protest. They demanded an end to the flood of immigration. That will be our story in the next program of The Making of a Nation.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.